take us to housing, because before we get on to what Sinn Féin raised in the private member's motion, in the Dáil this afternoon, Conor Sheehan's party leader there was raising the issue of vacant and derelict properties, which has been stubbornly, it's come down, but it's stubbornly high.
Yeah, Ivana Bacic raised this during Leaders' Questions. She claimed that there are around 160,000 vacant properties in the country at present. But she raised the issue of the government not actually having exact statistics on that, and seemed, according to her, to be quite incurious as to the exact number of vacant properties in the country. She specifically referenced the cottages close to the Grand Canal, which one of which collapsed there yesterday. I think it's also
just have a construction safety sign on it.
And it did. It's also in the same constituency as one of our guests here this evening. Also the local authorities simply were not able to make sufficient progress in dealing with vacancy because the CPO power and system wasn't effective. She said she knew that the CSO was researching, or the Taoiseach later said that the CSO was researching this. But I think her point is to criticise the government's finger-pointing at the local authorities for dragging their feet on vacant properties. The government says they have provided plenty of funding, plenty of schemes. She says that local authorities aren't properly resourced, actually, either through staffing or financially, to tackle the problem of vacancy with sufficient urgency. There were a number of other aspects of housing raised today. The Sinn Féin motion, of course, so we'll get to that in a while. But also the Minister for Housing, James Brown, announced today that he had Cabinet approval to extend the First Home Scheme. So an extra €30 million will be put into that scheme. That's a shared equity scheme where the government finances part of the equity of the house temporarily.
Before we go to the rest of the panel, there's a bit of pushback, though, to the assertion that local authorities didn't have the means to bring vacant properties back into use. The Taoiseach explicitly rejecting this, saying that local authorities have everything they need apart from the Cor Cuige to do it.
He was quite vehement on that. He referenced statistics relating to the vacant properties refurbishment grant, over 11,000 applications and 1,400 grants already paid out, €77 million in total. The GEAR directory stats for the fourth quarter of 2024 show that the vacancy rate is 3.8%, which is the lowest since 2013. But he also said that local authorities are taking far too long to release homes which are already vacated, that they should use and enforce the Derelict Sites Act. But there's an ongoing difference of opinion between government and opposition here on the role of not just the local authorities, but the planning authorities. Sinn Féin and other oppositions strongly contend that they're not adequately resourced, that they often don't have the staffing to process paperwork to do with planning applications, but also enforcement and proposal and enforcement of compulsory purchase orders. The government insists that the local authorities have enough power and resources to do the job.
All right. Conor Sheehan, depending on what figures you look at, if you look at the census, it says this is according to Census 2022, the number of vacant homes is around the 160,000 mark. If you look at the GEO directory figures from last year, they say there are 82,000 residential properties recorded as vacant in June 2024, and a further 20,000 residential buildings classified as derelict in June of that year. Are you taking the 160,000 vacant figures as the figures you'd run with?
Yes, we are taking those as the figures that we would that we believe to be more accurate. But the second thing I would say is that the Taoiseach was asked today by my party leader, Ivana Bacic, in respect of vacancy, particularly in relation to funding for what's known as local authority voids, vacant council homes. And he gave a response which didn't answer her question in relation. He said X amount have taken up vacant home grants, X amount have availed of these government's supports. But that actually wasn't what he was asked. The big issue that we have is, for example, if you look at the void scheme, right, it costs on average of €48,000.
This is a local authority house that has been vacated, and it's the time that it takes to bring that house back into a usable condition and have a tenant in it.
It costs about €48,000 on average to bring back a vacant local authority home, right? And basically, the funding allocation per unit that's allocated to local authorities at the moment means that local authorities get, if they were to take all of their vacant homes they get about €11,000 a unit. And construction inflation has risen year upon year. It has rocketed since 2022 because of the international situation.
But the Taoiseach did specifically take issue with that. He said that the local authorities come and they say, if you give us 50 grand, we'll bring that back into use. And he said, no, that's not tenable, that they have the resources to do it. That this was his position.
Well, I don't accept that at all, because the fact of the matter is local authorities are mandated to bring back council homes to a certain standard as set out by the department. It's very clear to what standard they have to bring them up to. And the way the Taoiseach spoke in the Dáil today, you'd swear all you had to do was go in with a bucket of paint and a roller, when in some cases some of these vacant council homes have been vacant for many years. And in many cases, they would have been homes that would have been lived in for quite a long period. So they require extensive refurbishment to bring them up to a tenable standard. And I mean, if what the Taoiseach says stands and is correct, why do we, for example, in a city like Limerick, consistently have more than 200 vacant council homes?
James Gagan.
Well, I think in response to what my constituency colleague, Deputy Ivana Bacik, was saying to the Taoiseach in relation to vacancy and dereliction, it was put back to her, you know, the figures that were just outlined there in relation to the success of the vacant refurbishment grant. And I can say as a TD, previously a councillor, you felt that success in the inbox of your emails, because you were getting so many emails from people asking, can you get on to the person in the council to hurry this up a bit? Now, what I would say on that is that it may well be the case that we could resource the councils better, or I mean, obviously the one I'm familiar with is Dublin City Council, but outside of Dublin City Council, in individual local authorities, some of them might be better resourced in terms of ensuring that refurbishment grant
right, but you do feel Dublin City Council has a case, then it's not simply foot dragging or, you know, not being active enough.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was targeting Dublin City. I'm not sure what local authority.
No, he said local authorities. He said local authorities come and ask for 50 grand, and he said no, they have the resources.
Yeah, well, in some respects, we're sort of talking. I'm not saying confusing, but we're talking about apples and oranges. We're talking about voids, and then we're talking about refurbishing grants. So, look, as a former councillor, you could never have enough money for voids, in my view. All councillors want more money for voids because but it is expensive. Individual, empty social housing premises, putting them back into use. Whereas a lot of the focus, I suppose, from the Department of Housing side is on the big social housing construction projects to try to deliver, you know, at scale, at volume, the number of houses that could be possibly delivered.
Right.
And look,
even if the lower figure is right, though, and let's talk about vacancies, even if the lower figure is right, and it's 100,000, between derelict and vacant properties, it stayed stubbornly at that level for quite some time.
Yeah, but look, can I just say, I mean, even if it is the case that Dublin or Ireland is comparatively low on vacancy or dereliction, I still think in the midst of a housing crisis, there's too much vacancy and dereliction. If I talk about Dublin city centre, you know, both housing and on the commercial side, we have way too much vacancy and dereliction. That's why the whole Dublin City Task Force, in many respects, was established in the first place, was to tool up the local authorities. And one of the key recommendations in that task force, which forms part of the programme for government, is to provide additional funding, for example, to Dublin City Council when it comes to acquiring vacant properties, in terms of turning properties that private landlords are holding on to potentially provide spaces for people to live in the city. I think it's an essential tool for Dublin City. I think it's essential generally in a housing crisis. But equally, what I would caution against is that even if we filled all of the vacancy and derelict houses in the country, it's really the construction and the building of new houses that's going to really make a dent.
Right, Farrell, we will get to your motion in a moment, but just, you want to respond to that?
Look, I mean, I think the craziest thing about this whole conversation is that we actually don't know the figures. So the fact that we don't know the actual figures of vacant and derelict properties across this state is
just... It could be 80,000 or it could be double that.
Yeah, and look... like that, to me, fundamentally, there's a serious issue there, especially in the midst of a housing crisis. So, very clearly, and it's actually quite interesting, some of the figures that have come out with geodirectory and that, and then the local council might say it's not as high as that, but then somebody who works in the post office might say it's actually higher. So, you know, it's all different.
Just,
so what we need to do...
Just to explain to listeners, it's a combined effort of UnPost, which is I think 5,600 postal workers all around the country, and Tailte Éireann, which is responsible for property registration, valuation and mapping. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so the point that I'm trying to make here is what we need to do is we actually need to figure out how many houses are vacant and derelict. And what we need to do then is get, what we would be saying is that we need the Department of Housing and Geodirectory to work together to put together an online platform that would look at this as a matter of urgency. Because if we don't know what we're actually dealing with, it's very hard to actually get this issue sorted. And in the midst of a housing crisis, a horrendous housing crisis, where we consistently see people in really, really bad situations, and I think an awful lot of the time, unfortunately, it seems like there's a desensitization on what people are actually going through, well, then we can't deal with it. Then what we need to look at
just
is...
On a matter of interest, James Gagan, do you optimistically go on the geodirectory figures, or do you go for worst case scenario on the CSO figures? I mean, on what basis does and should the government be acting?
Well, and I don't mean to narrow the focus, but it's just the experience I've had, obviously, being mayor of Dublin. Like, at a Dublin City Council level, if I talk to the executive managers who deal with housing and vacancy and dereliction, it would be very much the case that they'd be operating off of the lower bound figures. Like, that is the, I suppose, the lived working reality of the housing officers in Dublin City Council in terms of the level of vacancy and dereliction that they see in their city and what they can and can't do. And we might have differences of opinion as to how we, I suppose, respond to the challenges that we face in the housing crisis in our city. But ultimately, you know, these are public servants trying to do their best for the city. And, you know, that's been the position of successive housing managers, to be truthful. But that doesn't, you know, people see with their own eyes when they walk around Dublin or around the country. They see vacancy, they see dereliction. We need to do more. And I mean, that's why we put in place the vacancy refurbishment grant, which has actually proven to be, in terms of vacancy efforts that we've taken previously, a reasonably successful model.
Are you giving the government sufficient credit for that, Conor Sheehan?
Look, any government initiatives that we believe are positive, you know, we will support, and we have been constructive. Like, we were the only opposition party at the time that voted for the establishment of the Land Development Agency. But the fact of the matter is, I have put in numerous parliamentary questions to try and get an accurate number of vacant local authority homes in the country, broken down by county council.
Still waiting?
And I can't get it.
Okay.
And I just think that's absolutely ridiculous, because how can you deal with a problem properly when you can't quantify it?
Okay. Cúin, take us through the motion as it was debated this evening in the Dáil, the Sinn Féin motion on investment in infrastructure. What was it calling for?
Well, the background to this is that the government housing target has been raised to 50,000, and there's been ongoing discussion in the media over the last few weeks about the difficulties in achieving that figure, which are caused by the deficits in our infrastructure. And to that end, Sinn Féin were putting forward a motion in the Dáil tonight calling for calling out, as they see it, the long-term underfunding of particularly water and sewage infrastructure in this country, and asking the Dáil to support massively and urgently increased funding for Uisce Éireann, and as they see it, proper resourcing of the planning system. And going back to our discussion about the housing SAR, which we had 2 weeks ago, they do support that office, which is a recommendation of the Housing Commission, but they support that office having full legislated for powers in order to push forward with the delivery of housing. That's in contrast to the government's position of making that office more of a consultative, coordinating body.
All right. We heard a bit of proposed development in Ballyboggan, near Glasnevin Cemetery. There is a plan for it, but I think there's an issue with the plan in terms of its capacity to deliver it anyway.
There is. I believe that there's a Dublin City Council master plan for the area. It's near Glasnevin Cemetery, between Glasnevin Cemetery and the canal, the Royal Canal, and about 6,000 homes, possibly, maybe more, could be developed in the area were the master plan to be implemented. It's an industrial estate at the moment, but Uisce Éireann say that there would need to be increased wastewater facilities provided for the area in order to enable the houses to be built there. So you have, you know, this huge initiative to plan an entirely new area of Dublin City, great public transport links close to the city centre, nice amenities in the area too. But because of a critical infrastructure deficit, the master plan can't go forward. And actually, the Dáil debate this evening on the Sinn Féin motion was full of local examples all around the country of this housing development or that housing development or this house, that house, which for some reason related to infrastructure, either electricity or water or sewage, could not be built. And this calls into question the feasibility of the government's 50,000 per year housing target. They're targeting the construction of 300,000 houses between now and 2030. Already we've seen last year the much talked about before the election figure of 40,000 was undershot by about, almost 10,000. So that's a deficit of 20,000 already on the 50,000 target. It looks like we're on track for something similar this year. So instead of catching up and ramping up to that number, it doesn't look like we're going in that direction. And this infrastructure issue looks like it's making the mountain even taller or more impossible to climb.
All right. James Gagan, if you look at this Ballyboggan proposal, this is a brownfield site. The beauty of these brownfield sites was supposed to be, you know, there's electricity, there's water facilities there already. It's just a matter of flipping them from light industrial into residential use. And Ishke Aaron says, well, actually, the wastewater issue in particular is going to be a blockage to that. And they question their capacity to deliver that, both for reasons of planning and resources.
Yeah, and I think, look, I think it's important to sort of set out why we're even talking about this Ballyboggan master plan for 6,000 homes. I mean, it comes from the fact that the government have updated the national planning framework. They've instructed local authorities all around the country to identify parcels of land that can be rezoned to create more homes across the city. And this went out to a broad consultation with the public. And obviously, Ishke Aaron have responded to that consultation in real time. And in some respects, like Coombe was just saying there about talking about projects around the country, in some respects, Ballyboggan is a microcosm for the multifaceted challenges we have when it comes to delivering housing. Because if you look at the two things Ishke Aaron said in their submissions, one was that there's insufficient wastewater treatment, and the other one was that there's insufficient water. What is that wastewater treatment plant? Well, that was a wastewater treatment plant that came before Ambord Pleanála in 2019, was subjected to local objections, ended up in the High Court, and 5 years later, arising from these objections, we're only now back at a stage where it's before Ambord Pleanála. At the same token, the water they're talking about is the water that should come from Shannon to Dublin, a project we've been talking about for a very long time and has received objections over the years. And in order to resolve both these issues, first of all, we need to see the long-term investment in both those projects. And that's why government has set about ensuring that the monies...
How long has your party been in power?
Well, if I could just finish the point, government has set about ensuring that the monies that we have generated from the way in which we manage our public finances, that it will be put into capital irrespective of the challenges that are taking place across the state. But at the same time, the reason we're establishing the Strategic Housing Activation Office, which it seems Sinn Féin last week were against it, it seems like they're in favour of it now, but they wanted to go through legislation which would slow it down even further, is to troubleshoot this exact type of project. Because just because we need the long-term investment in these projects doesn't mean there aren't interim solutions to move these projects forward. And I would see this as a prime example of where interim solutions can be provided on both the wastewater and the water side to ensure that those 6,000 homes that are badly needed in Dublin aren't
interim solutions that so far haven't materialised. I mean, or the capacity.
Well,
to
this has
them,
gone to consultation now, so obviously there's an opportunity
I spoke as well about local examples, right? And as Coon mentioned there, everybody had local examples. So if we take Galway West as an example, we have had, in fact, we had one of these debates in the Gaeltacht, and one of the big issues that we were talking about was housing for people in the Gaeltacht. In South Connemara, Galway County Council has no service sites that they can deliver social or affordable housing. That's what they've said to us very clearly. They do not have service sites. That's a serious issue. That's because there hasn't been investment in basic infrastructure in Connemara. Then we look at the east side of Galway City where I live. I live in Merview, which is on the east side of Galway City. We were supposed to, and I was on Galway City Council 10 years ago, we were talking about Ardonagh development of thousands of homes. Again, delayed because we don't have the wastewater treatment capacity that we need to have in order to deliver that. There's a basically a whole stymieing of housing development on the east side of the city as a result of this. Now, this is in the context of...
How do you mean stymieing?
Like, as in the fact that we don't have the investment, that the investment wasn't put in.
Is it just that, or is there any planning objections?
There is planning objection to the Mutton Island, but not to, like, what... to what services were even thought about being invested in Connemara.
So everybody has diagnosed the problem. What do you want?
Well, what we want, the motion that we had here today, that we want to see the investment in the infrastructure, the investment into Ishkeirin, as has been outlined. If we do want to talk about planning objections, and I have no problem talking about that, well, then we need to invest in our planners. I mean, James was talking about judicial reviews and things going to High Court and all that. We know that we have three judges who are able to deal specifically with the planning. The big issue isn't even that they are dealing with it in the court, but the fact that they are then so delayed, because there's only three of them, to actually write up the reports and the judgments. What we need to see is that double to six. What we need to see is in our councils, and it is laughable to think that the Taoiseach was saying that our councils are well funded. If you look at Galway County Council and Galway City Council, we need to invest in our planners. Okay. In those as well. But like, we are talking about not having basic services in places so that we can deliver housing. And if we look at Connemara, which is something that I talk about all the time, we don't have those basic services.
Well, the first thing I would say is that planning, by its very nature, has become far too litigious in recent years. It's become far too litigious because the original 2000 Planning and Development Act was a good piece of legislation. A lot of the amendments that came after it were terrible, particularly what Fine Gael introduced with strategic housing developments. The vast majority of them went to judicial review, which bunged up essentially the courts and stalled the planning process.
Is that a matter of poor resourcing or bad legislation?
It's a combination of both, because we're short 500 planners, and planners were only added to the list of critical skills at the beginning of this year. And the fact of the matter is, as a country, we do not take infrastructure seriously enough. Our spend on infrastructure is 25% below the European average. I remember my colleague, Alan Kelly, who was the Minister for the Environment way back when, went in and delivered a speech in April of 2016 at that sort of zombie period between the end of the government, the 31st Dáil, and the formation of the Fianna Fáil and the Fine Gael confidence and supply jiggery pokery. And the fact of the matter is, the speech that he delivered then could have been delivered today, because the fact of the matter is, if you look at Ishkeirin have a multi-annual plan for capital investment. Every year they have to go back in, like every other government department, and compete for funding. The funding that was supposed to come last November, that was supposed to be for capital investment, transpired not to be for capital investment. And I would really challenge anyone to come out and contradict Gerry Grant, from Ishkeirin in relation to that. And the fact of the matter is, we need 65 billion worth of investment over 25 years in our water infrastructure.
Okay. On that specific point, James Gagan, though, you know, that Conor Sheehan has pointed towards, you know, an absence of investment in planners in the local authorities. But on the specific issue of Ishkeirin, what Gerry Grant was found to have written to the minister to say they were under-resourced, and the Construction Industry Federation in January of this year backed them up and said the same thing.
Well, on the planners point, like, we absolutely need new planners, and, you know, the Minister for State for Planning, John Cummins, today, you know, was part of a launch for local authorities hiring new planners, over 40 new planners as part of this recruitment. But we need new planners. I mean, I'm not sure if I agree with Sinn Féin's diagnosis of the judicial review planning problem, that we need more judges to have more judicial reviews. I'm not sure if that's the solution. But look, on Ishkeirin, the government from the highest levels have fully acknowledged that we need Ishkeirin to do more in terms of connection for homes, and we need Ishkeirin to do more in terms of ensuring that whatever the state gives them, that we can demonstrate that that's going to produce or it's going to support the construction of more homes. But in some respects, when we have this discussion about Ishkeirin's investment, you'd almost believe that nothing has been done by way of investment. And just to give you three projects that they have invested in: the Arklow wastewater treatment plant that was officially opened last week. That's 140 million. That's up to 36,000 1,000 people. Blanchardstown, 150,000 people. Troyswood treatment plant in Kilkenny, 28,000 people. In my own neck of the woods, the Ringsend wastewater treatment plant. So
60,000 houses needed, and one of their diagnoses is also in the interview that was done by Irish Water's representative, Angela Ryan, was saying that planning is an issue. So, you know, the planners were looking to be added to the critical skills list for years. You're talking about 40. Conor Sheehan says there's 500 needed. That's a way short of what's needed, isn't
it? Yeah, look, we need more planners, and it's a good thing that they are being added to the critical employment skill. I also think, AI can deliver a lot of innovation when it comes to planning decisions in terms of the entry level of planning decisions where discretion's not required. And hopefully, and as I understand it, on board Planola, you know, have had some engagement with the National AI Agency in relation. So we need to throw everything at it. But I should say, it is also the case that the planning authority is now going to make decisions pursuant to a brand new piece of legislation. None of this stuff happens overnight, but there is a comprehensive planning reform piece of legislation that is, the whole purpose of it is to reduce delays in the court, is to ensure that residents groups have actual interest in the applications that they're bringing, strict time limits to stop repeat objections.
Okay.
So that's what all that legislation is supposed to
do. Well, there should be statutory time limits in terms of planning, and that was something that Sinn Féin raised, that every single that there'd be statutory timelines at every single stage of the planning process. That makes sense. That should happen, should have been done. In relation to your comment in relation to judicial reviews, I in no way said that we need to see an increase in judicial reviews. What we do know is that the length of time that it takes for judicial reviews to actually be processed and for judgments to be made is extremely delayed. And the reason for that is because we don't have enough judges. And for an example, for Ishgairn and the lack of...
Hopefully we have less judicial reviews so that these planning applications...
But what, I don't know if
you've ever participated in planning objections
one voice at a time. Okay, we're going to leave that one there. Where does this private member's motion go, by the way, Cúan?
Well, the government have put up an amendment to the motion, which is basically a restatement of housing measures that are outlined in the programme for government. It's promising a new and updated housing plan in the summer, and it says that the achievements of the government so far have built a stable platform off which to build further progress going into the future. So the heart of this debate is, nobody disputes that the government hasn't done something on housing or made some progress on housing. But the question is the government's response sufficient to meet the urgency of the situation? And is it equivalent or even close to equivalent to the radical reset the Housing Commission recommended in its report last year? The opposition very clearly is of the view that it isn't. The public verdict on that remains to be heard.
Okay.